This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Subhanallah, make all the stages of the Akhirah easy for him, inshallah. He was buried at the Denton Cemetery, and many people were wondering why was he buried at the Denton Cemetery. And the reason why he was is because he was one of the very first members who played a very pivotal role in developing and establishing the Denton Cemetery. So that's why he chose to be buried over there. So may Allah, so we pray to Allah that all those who are sick in our community, may Allah give them shifa. All those who have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them from amongst the dwellers of Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la, inshallah. And one last thing before Ustaz Bajur's lecture. As you know, that these are times that which are, again, have become quite difficult and tense for the Muslims all over the world because of what took place in Paris. And we see a lot of backlash taking place here in the United States. Not only that, but I'm sure if you have been in touch with the news or you are associated with social media, you have probably seen that Governor Greg Abbott in Texas has stated that he will not accept any more Syrian refugees. So, you know, Muslims in general are going through a difficult moment, and someone came and asked me that what should we do in these times? First of all, is that try to do whatever you can, make a lot of dua. If there's anything externally that you would like to do, you are welcome to. But if there's one thing that we all should do is, number one, of course, dua, and start making a lot of dua of istighfar. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allahumma innaka afu wa tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. These are du'as that are really proven to be very, very helpful, and they are extremely effective, especially La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Yunus alayhi salam read that when he was in the belly of the well, when it seemed like there was no exit out of his misery. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from there he created a way for him. So this is an extremely effective dua. So in times like this, we should read this dua over and over again. All these situations are coming upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in times like this, we need to really reflect upon our sins and try to learn from them and try to make dua istighfar, inshallah. Okay, inshallah, the lecture will start right now. One more announcement. Brother Muhammad Lafi, his mother-in-law passed away today. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the family sabr al-jameen, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her and make her grave a garden of paradise, inshallah. Her funeral in janazah will be tomorrow after Salat al-Jum'ah at IANT. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman ya arhamar rahimin. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us what benefit us from what He taught us and increase us in knowledge. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, before we speak about our hero today, I know some people are looking, where is the candy? Candy's right here. And the first question, before we start, I want to make sure that you're concentrating when I'm talking. So the first question is, I need somebody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We already finished around 15 heroes, 15 to 16. I need somebody to name at least 6 heroes for me so I can feel that somebody's listening. 6 heroes we discussed already, inshallah ta'ala. Raise your hand. Anybody? Six heroes we discussed already. You are here all the time. Sufyan al-Thawri. Aurangzeb. I have two Saeeds. No. Sa'id bin Musayyib. Musayba. Brother, 17, 18, come on. Huh? Ahmed bin Hassan al-Basri, صح. Imam Ahmed, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, Yusuf bin Tashfin. Musayba, he said already. Aurangzeb, we did, he said it already. Mean? Nuruddin Zinki? Barbaros? Huh? Wife of Fir'aun? Sah. Nobody said that. There is one that nobody said, and he's one of the most famous ones. Ah, mashallah. You got this one because he mentioned the last one. An-Nawawi, Imam al-Nawawi. Imam al-Nawawi. Tayyib. Today, inshallah ta'ala, our hero, our sheikh, our famous, great scholar is none but Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith. Who's Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith? Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahu Allah. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahu Allah. His name is Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn al-Mughira ibn Bardizba. What does Bardizba mean? Anybody knows? Bardizba, I don't expect anybody to know. Bardizba means in Arabic, al-zarra', the one who yazra', yani the farmer, the one who plants. Okay? This is the word Bardizba in Arabic. This is a Persian word. He was born in Bukhara. He was born in Bukhara, which is Uzbekistan now, what do you call, in the year 194 after Hijrah, in the month of Shawwal, in the year 194 after Hijrah. Now, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he had two things special about his childhood. Two things. Number one, his father passed away when he was very, very young boy. His father passed away, so he grew up as an orphan. And the second thing that happened is that at the age of 3, he became blind. He became blind. And his mother was so upset that she was crying day and night and making dua day and night for a very long time. Until one night, she saw... MashaAllah. Let's take another sheikh, everybody. She saw Ibrahim alayhi salam in the dream. She saw Ibrahim alayhi salam in the dream, and he told her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your continuous crying and your continuous dua, he has given your son his vision back. So she woke up from the dream very happy. She went to her son, woke him up, he saw her, and he actually got his vision back. Allahu Akbar. This is the dua of the Al-Umm As-Saliha. May Allah make all our mothers and our daughters and our sisters and our wives from the righteous women. This is the, subhanAllah. So this is, Ya Akhwan, for especially my sisters, Imam al-Bukhari is the product of a single mother, like we call now, right? She is the one who raised him. She is the one who pushed him to go into the ilm. And mashaAllah, of course, he was beyond genius. Beyond genius from a very young age. Very, very bright. He looks at the book. He looks at the book. He memorizes it. People used to check their notes from his memory. SubhanAllah. He was extremely, extremely bright. A lot of people ask, especially an imam like Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, how... We never hear about him having, you know, any business or anything. How did they make money? How did they survive? By the way, most of the scholars, they lived in a, you know, a poor life, you know, very poor life. But Imam al-Bukhari, his father was very rich. And as a matter of fact, he was a muhaddith also. But he was a tajir. And he left him alfa dirham. 1 million dirham. He left a will of 1 million dirham. And he had only one brother, which we don't hear much about him. And his name was, anybody knows? His name was Ahmed. So he left him that money for the two brothers. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah spent all his money in seeking knowledge. All the money in seeking knowledge. So you might wonder how. Now if you ask yourself, or if somebody decide now he wants to buy, he wants to make his own Islamic library. Yani that will cost, if you want to really have a real good Islamic library, it will cost you tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, Musnad Ahmed by itself, probably $500-$600, $1,000. Al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari. You know, if you want to really have a good library, you will have a lot of money. So at that time, put that and add to it all the travel that, you know, he used to go through, because we know how picky he was about the ahadith, about choosing his ahadith. So he had some money to spend, and he spent it all on seeking knowledge. He performed Hajj at the age of 18, and when he went to Hajj, his mother told him to stay in Mecca and seek knowledge from the ulama of Mecca. And he, between Mecca and Medina, he started studying the ilm of hadith. He was in love of the ilm of hadith since he was 10 years old. He used to love the ilm of hadith. They mention a story. There was a man, Sheikh al-Hadith, his name Ad-Dakhili. So this Dakhili is sitting down and giving his students ilm, and he's teaching them hadith. So he said, Dakhili, he said, narrating a hadith, he said, عن ابن الزبير عن ابراهيم النخعي. Because let me tell you something we are not familiar with these days. At the time of Bukhari, the memorization of the Sanad is just like we now memorize the Quran. They used to know the Sanad. You know what Sanad mean? Like an. You know, they used to memorize that just like we now know قل هو الله أحد. This is how they know the Sanad. So this Sheikh, the big Sheikh, stood and said, عن أبي الزبير عن إبراهيم النخعي. Bukhari stood up. He said, this is wrong. 10 years old. Imagine big Sheikh standing and Yusuf stand up, said, Sheikh, what are you talking about? You're embarrassing me. So he said, sit down, ya ghulam. Ijlus ya ghulam. Sit down. So Bukhari, he insisted. He said, Sheikh, with all due respect, Zubair never narrated from al-Nakhai. So that when he saw him, you know, being persistent, the Sheikh actually went and checked his books. And subhanAllah, al-Bukhari was absolutely right. And he corrected that big alim teaching the people the hadith. At the age, when he was narrating this story, so somebody, the one whom he is narrating to, he told him, how old were you at that time? He said, kuntu ihda ashar. I was 11 years old. I was 11 years old, correcting ulama of hadith at the age of 11. He had over 1,000, he studied under, now if somebody study here at this our days, if someone study under 1, 2, 3 shuyukh, yani you cannot stop him. You cannot talk to him anymore. 1,000 shuyukh. 1,000. He traveled Egypt. He traveled all Bilad al-Sham, seeking knowledge. He traveled everywhere looking where is the hadith, where is the narrator of hadith. He goes and he studies his character first. The character of the narrator. One time somebody was talking to him. He told him, I know 70,000 narrators of the hadith. I know their date of birth, the date they died. Where do they live and how truthful are they? 70,000. So he studied from 1,000 shuyukh and he took around 10,000 hadith from everyone. So you're talking, brother, you're talking about 1,000,000 hadith. You have to keep in mind, what does the word hadith means? Any one of us, if you study your life from age of you started becoming an adult till you're 40, 50, you had at least 1 million hadith. What does hadith mean? Any something that happened with you, you could say, Wallahi, on December 5th, 1995, ذهبتُ ورأيتُ رجل وقال لي هذا الرجل, and this man told me something. That's a hadith about your life. So when we say million hadith, in the time of Rasulullah, it's nothing. And keep in mind that there are, for example, how many hadith are there in the book of Bukhari? 7,000. But if you take the pure, يعني, because 7,000, many hadith are repeated. So if you take all the hadith that are not repeated, just mentioned once, it will come out to around 2,000 something. So his repetition of the hadith came up to 7,000. So you could imagine if somebody was, you know, just mentioning everything that happened in his life, it will add up to a large number. It took him, of course, he wrote a lot of books, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and the most, of course, famous book is Sahih Al-Bukhari. It took him 16 years to collect the hadith in Sahih Al-Bukhari. Like we said, he used to check on the person who is giving him the hadith, and he said, before I write any hadith, I make wudu, I pray 2 rak'ah, and then I write the hadith. I make istikhara before every single hadith. That's why, subhanAllah, our ulama told us that the most authentic book after the Quran is the Kitab of Al-Bukhari, Sahih Al-Bukhari. Most of the people who praised him and said many great things about him are, believe it or not, are not his students, his shuyukh. Usually it's the other way around. So his shuyukh are the ones who praised him. One of his shuyukh, Ishaq bin Rahawaya, يقول, اكتبوا عن هذا الشاب فلو كان في زمن الحسن لاحتاج الناس إليه لمعرفته بالحديث وفقهه. وقال أبو العباس الدعولي كتب أهل البغداد إلى البخاري المسلمون بخير ما حييت لهم وليس بعدك خير حين تفتقد. الله أكبر. So they told the Bukhari, as long as you are alive, the Muslimin are بخير. When you die, Allah أعلم what's going to happen. محمد بن حاد بن أبي حاتم, he said, دخلت البصرة والشام والحجاز والكوفة ورأيت علماؤها كلما جرى ذكر محمد بن إسماعيل فضلوه على أنفسهم. I went to Kufa, Sham, everywhere, and every time you mention Muhammad bin Ismail, which is Al-Bukhari, everybody, all the scholars say, he is better than us. قال عبد الله الدارمي, Darimi, he has his own collection of hadith also. He said, رأيت العلماء بالحرمين والعراق فما رأيت فيهم أجمع من البخاري. I saw the ulama in everywhere, in the Haramain and in the Iraq, and there's no one as knowledgeable as Bukhari. And so, يعني, things like this kind of praise are so many about Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, رحمه الله. Now, when he went to Baghdad, listen to the story. When he went to Baghdad, the people of Baghdad, they made a plot. They came up with something called testing the muhaddith. So they got 100 hadith. And they got 10 big ulama in hadith. They sat down, let's imagine, they have 10 ulama of hadith, everybody has 10 hadith. And they want to test the Bukhari is sitting there. So the first one started, his 10. Let's assume, for example, the hadith that we all know, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Let's assume that, okay? Who narrated that hadith? Umar ibn al-Khattab, everybody knows. So the first one said, عَنْ عَلِيِّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبِ, for example. عَنْ عَلِيِّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبِ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And he narrated the hadith. What do you say about this hadith, يا إمام? He said, لا أعرفه. Second hadith, لا أعرفه. Third hadith, 10 hadith, the first one, لا أعرفه. Second, person narrated his 10 ahadith. لا أعرفه, لا أعرفه, لا أعرفه. All 100 Imam saying لا أعرفه. After they finished, he said, "You finished?" He said, "Yes." He went to the first one. Now imagine, subhanAllah, imagine. Now that everybody's done. And every hadith, at least you're talking about an hour and a half, at least. He went to the first one. He said, "The first hadith that you told me is not an Ali, is not an. And he corrected them one by one with the right narration, one by one, till he get to the 100. And this is the right way you're supposed to say this hadith. And these people said, "Khalas." They raised the 10. This is the man of hadith. So when you say Bukhari, I want you to, you know, subhanAllah, to know who you're talking about. Subhanallah. You know, lately, there are some people that are ignorant. And they're going around and they're accusing the Bukhari, rahimahullah, with some issues that, wallahi, only a person looking for fitna, only a shaitan would do something like this, especially if you know the value of this great imam. What this imam went through to, yani, do you think the name Bukhari is not mentioned on earth at least 100 times a day? At least. Who goes to ilm? Who goes to study Islam, Sharia, without mentioning Bukhari? Who gives a lecture without mentioning Bukhari? Who gives a khutbah? Who gives a... Yani, you're talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this man by his name always being, you know, mentioned. And every time we mention, what do we say? Rahimahullah. So can you imagine how much mercy this man is getting? Subhanallah. So for these people who sit down and attack and this and that, wallahi, you know, there's a saying in Arabic, let me translate it. It says, if you want to become famous, attack somebody famous. If you want to be famous, find somebody famous and find something to him, you'll become famous. Of course, you'll become infamous, not famous, you know. Subhanallah, especially if somebody like the Bukhari. Now, with every scholar, ya akhwan, my brothers and sisters, with every big respected scholar, there's always a fitna. They are always tested. We saw the test of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, that raised him above everybody, subhanallah, because of his thabat. He was steadfast on that issue of Khalq al-Qur'an. Now, listen to this. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, when he finished, he wanted to move to Nisabur. Nisabur, one of his shuyukh, his name is Muhammad bin Yahya al-Dhuhali. He knew that Imam al-Bukhari is coming. He told, he was the muhaddith of his time, of Nisabur. This man was the muhaddith of Nisabur, was one of the teachers of Imam al-Bukhari. And he respected him and loved him a lot. So he told his people, when we say his people, thousands of people, he said, Imam al-Bukhari is coming tomorrow, is arriving tomorrow, and whoever is would like to go welcome him, I am going to welcome him. 18 kilometers of people welcoming Imam al-Bukhari to Nisabur. 18 kilometers of people just gathering to welcome Imam al-Bukhari, and some of them, they start throwing money, dananir, to welcome him, and some of them start throwing sweets, to welcome Imam al-Bukhari. So he was very, very famous, the man of his time. After a while, he moved to his area, Bukhara, and he started teaching there. And then the fitna of Khalq al-Qur'an came. The creation of the Qur'an came. A man in the middle of his class stood up. I'm not going to go into details, I'm just going to give you briefly how these people attacked the ulama. There was something, beside Khalq al-Qur'an, there's something called Lafzi al-Qur'an makhluq, Lafzi al-Qur'an. They mean the lafz, same in Urdu, lafz, yeah. The uttering of the Qur'an, is it makhluq? Because if you say Qur'an makhluq, all the respected scholars, they're going to tell you, no, it's kalamullah, it's not makhluq. So now they came up with something else called lafzi al-Qur'an. Is the uttering of the Qur'an, when I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, is this makhluq? Because they want you to say makhluq. Because lafzi al-Qur'an, lafzi al-Qur'an could be one of two things. Either the movement of my tongue, the lafzi itself okay, which is makhluq, because my tongue is makhluq, or they could mean, again, the same thing as the Qur'an. Lafd al-Qur'an, the actual wording of the Qur'an. So the word lafd is tricky. The word lafd is tricky. So the man stood up in the middle of the class and said, Ya Imam, lafd al-Qur'an, makhluq. He did not answer. Second time. Lafd al-Qur'an, makhluq. He did not answer. He knew it was a trick. Third time, fourth time, then he said this famous statement. He said, Al-Qur'an kalamullah ghayru makhluq wa af'aluna makhluqa. The Qur'an is the word of Allah, it's not created, and our actions are created. So he, very smart, very wise answer. The Qur'an is not makhluq, but this movement of my tongue is makhluq because my tongue is makhluq. Now, this man took this and went and spread all over that Bukhari said that the Qur'an is makhluq. The message got to his teacher in Nisabur. He did not find out if this is authentic or not. Immediately gave a fatwa. Whoever sits with Bukhari is just like him. From all these thousands of people, two down, two people. Everybody left him. Subhanallah, look at this fitna. Everybody left him except two. One of them, of course, you know him very well. Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. And the second one, I wrote his name so I won't forget. Ahmed bin Salama. These are the only two people. So Ahmed bin Salama, when he was sitting down alone, him and Imam Muslim and Imam Bukhari, he said, Ya Imam, do you remember when you first came? 18 kilometers of people around welcoming you. Now it's only the three of us. Ya Akhwan, don't be fooled, you know. Don't be fooled by the numbers of the people following you. One thing, they would all forget you. That's why keep your relationship with Allah strong. That's why, subhanAllah, even though at that time people thought that Imam Bukhari did something wrong, right? They did not check the authenticity. That's why anytime you hear something about someone, do not go and spread before you check. تَبَيَّنُوا تَثَبَّتُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Check before you spread. Wallahi, I don't know, they told me. I'm not sure, I don't know. They just told me that, and no, Habibi, no. You are, wallahi, you are making a big sin, major sin, committing a major sin. Always double check. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him. That's why we are mentioning his name, not the other people's name. After how many thousand years, we are sitting down here remembering him. We are saying, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. We are studying his book. Everybody study his book, make dua for him, subhanallah. So that was the fitna that he went through. And he died in Samarkand in the year 256. So yani, if you do the math, around 62 years old, not too old. Of course, one of his books, that Sahih al-Bukhari, I just want to tell you one thing. When his father, before he dies, he brought his son and he told him, my son, I'm leaving you this 1,000 dirham. None of it, subhanAllah, he said, none of it has one penny of doubtful money, not haram. None of it has any penny of doubtful money. No doubt whatsoever in it. Why? Because his father grew up on the time of Abdullah ibn Mubarak and those great, great ulama. And every time he wanted to do something, he used to check with the ulama. Now, Ya Ikhwan, for the people, for the brothers who has a major business or big corporation, whatever, we hire an accountant, we hire lawyers, we hire everything. But you will never see a brother has a mufti on premises. Never. Even though he's the most important person amongst all the others. Or forget it being on premises. He does not call the sheikh and check about the authenticity and about the permissibility of any transaction before he goes ahead. Imam, the father of Bukhari, rahimahullah, he used to check on everything that he told his son. Not one penny is from doubtful. Fi shak. Yani, any doubt in it, no shak at all. Forget about haram. Now we have to study every penny we have, whether it's has haram or not doubt, subhanallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on our Shaykh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with him in Jannah, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all the people who passed away, especially this week, ya akhwan. So many people we heard, this sister, this brother. So ya akhwan, wallahi, treat every day as if it's your last day. Be kind to your wives, be kind to your parents, treat your children nicely. Wallahi, the stories, they need another lecture. Maybe tomorrow I have a lecture after Isha. It's called 10 Masterpieces Taught by Jesus. I'm trying to make it rhyme. 10 Masterpieces Taught by Jesus. You have to attend tomorrow. It will be, you know, I hinted to it in Ramadan, and I promised I will do it after Ramadan, and tomorrow is the day, inshallah ta'ala. So please try to come. Bi-idhnillah, jazakumullah khair, barakallah fikum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salam,
is there a lecture here tomorrow?
Yes. Salam, Yusuf. Ahlan, azak, ya habib. Allah yabarak fik. Here you go. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salam, Allah yabarak fik, habib.
What did Imam Bukhari call his own book? Sahih Bukhari.
I want to make it a question. I forgot. Al-Jami' al-Sahih. Al-Jami' al-Sahih. No? Okay.
And now I'm going to take a question from you.
Yes.
What madhab did you follow?
Ahmed bin Hanbal.
Ali Hanafi?
Ahmed bin Hanbal.